Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I have Ken Rislow, who is the Veterans Readjustment Counselor for Tillamook County.
For the VA Vet Center.
For the VA Vet Center. Okay. I need help on that. You have a title that goes on for a week.
Exactly. It puts people to sleep by the time they hear it.
Okay. So tell me, what is that? What do you do?
Well, the Veterans Outreach Center is a program that was established just after the Vietnam War to deal with people coming back and developing signs and symptoms that people weren't aware of. They were having a lot of problems getting back into society, mm-hmm. readjusting, getting close to their loved ones, just becoming a human being again.
Uh-huh.
And no one really, at that point in time, it was a mystery. Simply because that had been forgotten since World War II. And this center was, and there was a very bad attitude toward the VA, as there was this last year.
As there is in many years.
Well, many years. In that time, it was particularly deserved toward Vietnam veterans. It wasn't a good place to go to. But no one in their right mind wanted to go to the VA Medical Center. But there were a lot of people needing something to bring them back into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this program was established on a storefront basis, as sort of the furthest extension of the VA possible.
Uh-huh. So the least veterans-like facility. Least
bureaucratic-like facility.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just on the edge of the bureaucracy,
uh-huh.
to both act as a evaluation, figuring out what's going on with people, and a triage to make something immediately better, and then to refer them to further counseling or provide them with further counseling
uh-huh.
as necessary.
So then the veterans actually developed this whole program, and it's national.
Initially, it was. It came out of the Vietnam Veterans of America program, and a number of efforts that were attempting to recover the research that had been done in the last 50 years on post-traumatic stress to make it understandable to the average day bear and also acceptable to the combat veteran. All of boot camp, whether you're talking about the Marine Corps or the Army or whatever, is set to make a person believe that they're indestructible, that they really don't need any soft support. If it's not bleeding, they don't treat it. In uh-huh. fact, if it is bleeding, they don't treat it. It doesn't make too much difference. And so but this condition happens as a normal course of events when you send people to hell or when you put them in a traumatic, life-threatening situation, or death is either imminent death to them or someone close to them, or even by observation, it happens to them. It sets off a whole trigger of neurological and neurochemical reactions inside and physiological reactions that are originally developed in a human being to enable them to survive the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because of the intensity of it, they last almost under what used to be called one trial learning. You don't need more than one experience to set you off. But in war, it's more difficult because if people in Vietnam, people were deployed for an Honduras, which is sent them to Vietnam for a year. And once they completed their year, they came home. In the current situation, and people working in Southwest Asia, the sandbox, that people have been, in many cases, deployed many times, vis-a-vis 7 or 8 times. And if you like, they're playing Russian roulette. And those deployment times have a vague edge. They don't start and stop on an expected level, vis-a-vis their deployments can go for a year and extend out to 18 or 24 months. And then also when they return home, they're supposed to be guaranteed a certain number of months home. That can often another year or so, the same equal time home, that can be cut short.
Uh-huh.
So they're never quite sure what's happening. And a person is sort of has 1 foot in of a hot tub and 1 foot in a ice bucket, is trying to see where they actually live. Their families go on, and the condition itself isolates people from their loved ones, really. It takes away from their ability to sense what's going on with their relations, and also to communicate what's going on within them to their relations, their significant other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as deep as being able to relate to, have an emotional response to your children, and care where you could have been a loving and caring parent before. This turns off that part of the brain which senses those things. And you have to really redevelop that when you come back to the world, really.
And so if this is widespread among veterans,
it's at this point in time it's about 30%. And Vietnam people, it's rather, that 30% figure is about common. And what we're talking about widespread is an interesting question, because where it becomes clinically significant, where it becomes visible, where it actually is dramatically interfering with a person's life, it's probably right around 30%, plus or minus about 3 or 4%. But in actuality, subtle effects of this can occur to many people beyond that.
Yeah,
Often the reason why a parent or sibling of these people will look at them askance when they're home, you know, and everybody's into really happy they're home and glad to be home. And all of a sudden they look different. They're not the same person that mom put on the train or the bus or the airplane to go to this thing. And it happens each time. Each deployment is one more notch in the gun. And it changes each time. It's very difficult for people to adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'd like to touch before we end is something called resiliency. Because this is a condition that not only affects war veterans, combat veterans, but it affects victims of other trauma. Much of the recent research and treatment was established on treatment of rape victims or victims of violent assault crime in the civil war. So what works for them is also applicable to war of combat veterans.
Uh-huh.
Also, we've been put on notice that we're going to have the great subduction zone earthquake here. People are traumatized by those kinds of things in a slightly different way, because those events occur in under a condition that's totally beyond their control.
And it isn't somebody doing something to you.
Exactly.
It's the earth doing something. It's not, you know, you're not attacking me or your people aren't attacking me. It's very neutral in that way.
It is. Unfortunately, it carries with it the characteristic of total chance. Because everything in war, really everything is sort of luck, as I'll put it, luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it doesn't, to a point, training and education and physical fitness, all those things count. But in the end, it's who happens to be standing in the right place and a rock falls on them.
Right. That's true. There's this randomness to
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And I think that's maybe one of the most difficult things for both combat veterans and civilians, civilian people to realize.
Mm-hmm.
It's often an accident, even in the real world as we travel the highways where the accidents are common. What actually determines whether a person survives or not? People find solace in their spiritual relationship, those kinds of things, or their existential relationships with the world, really. But in the end, they're left with a question. And how do you deal with that with your children, and if this were to happen, so that you remain functional?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing applies to war veterans. When they go, if this is on the table and you're aware of it, then you can deal with it. I mean, if you know you're not turning into a frog, that you're actually a real person, and you need to come back. And how do you come back? There are pathways to do it. One of the pressures on the VA is to provide care, which is both sensitive and effective,
mm-hmm.
at the same time efficient,
mm-hmm.
which gets to be a real problem. I think that's the first problem with the VA is trying to be achieve those three things under a very limited budget. The third thing is to get the word out to the average bear. How do you get the information out from a megalith bureaucracy to the common public that they understand it and can deal with it?
You're talking about the veteran public?
The veterans public and the community at large.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, even beyond that.
Exactly.
So do you think there are people who don't know about your program that qualify for it?
Many. And we're an odd program because we have no income. You know, we're free; we don't charge.
Uh-huh.
We don't depend. It doesn't depend on whether you have the quality of your discharge from the service. You can have under honorable or dishonorable. It doesn't make any difference. We're the only veteran government program that provides those services to everybody.
Now, does every county have somebody like you? I mean, you used to do it in Clatsop County.
No, that was something different.
Oh.
But it's one of the components of this program is veterans advocacy. Uh-huh. But there's a person in Oregon, many of the counties, probably the majority of the counties, have a professional veteran service officer, which is a veterans advocate working for them. We have a gentleman working currently here under the name of Luke Thomas, who's the Clatsop County Veteran Service Officer. In Tillamook County, it's Bill Hatton and Diane Niflis, who both are excellent. Bill's new, and Luke was new, and Luke is very new, and Bill was new. He's learning the business. Uh-huh. It takes about over 2 years to learn the advocacy business.
Uh-huh.
And well, that's basically getting the word out to the people and getting them involved with the programs.
Uh-huh. So still, even, you know, I mean, we've been doing a program for veterans. Oh, man, how many years have we been doing this? When did Paul die?
Probably 15, 20.
Oh, my God. So that's when we started doing this.
And it never, it's one of those things, it's, syphilis rolling the... Rolling the rock up the mountain and having it roll down on you. You're always getting the word out to people who never quite get it,
uh-huh.
and they don't understand it when they get it.
Oh God!
I mean, every time when we recently had this VA fiasco in the press,
mm-hmm.
where a number of things came together to make the perfect storm, and it became people couldn't understand really in the end what was happening, because the worst part of it from my side of the fence, they weren't getting immediate care because they didn't know how to access the system. And second, when they accessed the system, they didn't know what part of the system they were really touching. The VA is, if anyone's been around it, it consists of about 5 separate agencies once you leave Washington, D.C., that have a different mission and focus. And many of them, they have a different management.
Oh, God, that's complicated.
And the two ones you're really concerned about are the Veterans Healthcare System and then the Veterans Benefits System. The BBC, the regional office, has been a problem for the last 45, 50 years, maybe 60, 70 years.
Oh.
As far as being, and for the last 40, being behind the power curve as far as being able to process claims both accurately and promptly. So that's a major issue.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to where we are. There are some services available at Clatsop Community College.
Yes. There's one of the new things that's been opened up there is a project to open up a Veterans Resource Center.
Okay.
Which was announced, I think, in March of this year. And the building was set aside and the space was set aside. And we're gradually providing services. And we're bringing it together under that umbrella. Both academic services to veterans going attending school, but also support services to mental health support services to the families of those veterans. Okay,
mm-hmm.
under our auspices, the VA Veterans Center Outreach Program, and also the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill Program in Clatsop County, will be putting together a program for their family support program, which is bring people aboard with an understanding of what the problem really is, what they're facing, so they can look for a solution. They know where they are, they know what the fixes are, and what the resources are, mm-hmm. and they can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very helpful.
Is there a contact for that to access those services through the college?
Right now, it's going to be under Pat Preston.
Oh,
for over vocational rehabilitation.
Okay.
And, under the Oregon Employment Department.
Right.
And within the coming months, it'll be myself and Candy Solers, who is the other Vet Center person for Clatsop County.
Okay.
And we'll be putting together this program. And then the volunteer staff of the Clatsop Oregon Alliance for the Mentally Ill.
So is there, if somebody has questions about their benefits, their veterans issues, is there one person they can talk to that can kind of, or is this what an advocate does, can like help them navigate the whole thing?
Basically, that's the task of the advocate.
Okay. And is there an advocate? There's one in Est, or there's one in Clatsop County, and there's one in Tillamook.
There's two in Tillamook.
Two until my, okay, those two people, okay.
Okay.
So and then if someone is like newly back and their family's going, whoa, hon, you need some help, the family could also call?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think also then I put my number out there and the Vet Center number out there. Also the VA crisis number.
Okay, why don't you give those numbers now and then we'll give them at the end as well.
Okay. My contact number is 503-791-5482. The Vet Center number is 503-688-5363, and that contacts the Portland office.
Okay.
And then they'll in turn pass the word on. A critical number to know is the VA crisis line, which is an effort by the Veterans Health Administration to provide intense services either for despair intervention or suicidal intervention, people having problems and severe problems, and put them in contact with people who are aware of the situation so that they can get the triage, the intervention done to make something happen for them. And that's the crisis line. That's 800-273-8255. I think that person actually is the initial advocate, contact advocate.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For someone.
Okay. So anybody who needs to get started.
Exactly.
A veteran, whether they're old or new.
That's correct. Does it really make any difference? One of the interesting things about combat-related stress disorder, which has a lot of press these days, is that it doesn't fade. It stays with people. When I was a veteran service officer, we had people coming in with 70 years later from World War II that had been traumatized in a war. It had affected their entire life and were just beginning to ask the question, what happened to me? They got run over by the bus and didn't know what kind of bus it was. One of the other issues of this thing is people are resilient. They adapt to it. But each time they have a watershed in their life, they have illness or they lose their job, or they have a divorce, or their spouse passes away, those kinds of traumas, life traumas, which occur to everyone, it sets off a watershed. It sets this whole thing off again, and it falls off the shelf, and all the symptoms reappear. The symptoms reappear, and they have to go back around and pick them up again. And it's a challenge not to disappear into the bottle or some chemical. It's a challenge not to to isolate yourself from your other people around you. One of the worst things I encounter now from people coming back from the sandbox or Southwest Asia is that a loved one will come back into their family and wind up simply going to the bedroom and staring at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Their contacts are limited to the people they were in the service with, which is a good thing about the current people. They were by internet, by Skype, and by email.
Right, they can Facebook. Compare notes and find out they're all hiding in the bedroom, or they're not.
Yeah, and many of these people are. It's something they don't feel safe talking about to anyone.
Well, don't people have jobs to go back to?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The reemployment rights situation is always difficult.
Uh huh.
Coming back, more.
But they can't replace your job, right? I mean,
theoretically, yes, but that's difficult. It was a problem from the first months of our deployment to Iraq and in Operation Iraqi Freedom. We had problems locally with that, about people being deployed and coming back in.
And not
the same job. And those things are all arbitrary. Mm-hmm. Also, a person coming back in as coming out of high school, going into the service, being trained in lifelong skills. Well, as a combat infantryman, there's not much that's going to apply to the real world once you get back. How do you? One of the great things about people coming back from the sandbox is something called the new GI Bill, which provided World War II class educational benefits and vocational benefits to veterans coming back from the wars in Southwest Asia. However, there's even a caveat to that. Since there was a tremendous amount of money available for that, and the intention was to provide veterans, men and women coming back from the service, access to school. First class, first-class state and mm-hmm. private universities. Unfortunately, the private, for-profit schools saw the money and have chased that down. And it's become an issue in the press every so often. That's something between 60 and 70% of that money is be going to profit-making operations in education.
Which are offering very little in terms of real education.
Exactly.
It's phony.
Real usefulness. Right. Exactly. And it becomes a question of, I think usefulness is, it's not accepted. That becomes another one of our functions is to alert mm-hmm. people to that and to get people into
legitimate education.
Legitimate education.
That's cheaper and real.
Real. Mm-hmm. It's something they can touch and that people can't take away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, they have to, again, go back to the traumatic responses to traumatic situation that stays with them. It makes initially concentration difficult,
mm-hmm.
Memory sometimes difficult.
Mm-hmm.
In this current situation, we have a number of people affected by something called traumatic brain injury. And if that's mild, in fact, very mild, we're talking about something who becomes forgetful, who becomes easily irritated, has a problem not only remembering what the keys are, paying attention to what's going on in front of them, all mm-hmm. of those things. Those are also an overlay with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to understand when they go into school, the school has to understand that it's like dealing with a dyslexic person or a person who's mildly cognitively impaired.
Right. They probably need special accommodation.
Exactly.
Right. Of course, then that would mean that they'd have to admit it. And then there's that hits up against the manliness. I don't need anyone's
stuff.
So it's like
thing.
It's a loop of bad.
It really is. And I think but both sides have to admit it, where it becomes
mm-hmm.
The educational resource has to understand that the normal things that you do with people, time-pressed examinations, are problematic for these people. They cause the major problems. At the same time, the person has to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it became it's about 4 or 5 years ago, the Marine Corps, who is the least to admit anything, once a Marine, always a Marine, situation, and people go on to develop a boot camp mentality that lasts them for their lifetime, finally had to go back and say to people, this is something real. This is a warrior's disease. It affects almost everyone involved to some extent. And if you pay attention to it and understand it, then you can deal with it like any other life situation. You can take it apart and put it together in a way that it'll work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have spent a tremendous amount of money to deal with both the effect on combat readiness, general functionality, and also suicide prevention.
Oh, great. That's good. Yeah.
But the person still has to accept it, and it's still very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. So in September, which we're coming up to, usually every year we have a stand down for veterans?
We normally in Clatsop County, we've had every year now, I think for the last five at least. And this year we're not. Right now we're working on reestablishing a program up at the community college for stand down probably at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
which will amount to a resource center.
Like a permanent resource center?
No, not necessarily. Well, I think the most effective thing about a stand-down is we've been able to get VA middle management and sometimes upper people, the people that make things work in the Veterans Administration and employers together, and to provide contact services, one-stop shopping for a person to come mm-hmm. in and have questions answered or have difficulties resolved. And that also concerns legal questions that come up that are normally beyond people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Argonne Legal Defense Services out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in, and the VA Medical Center comes in with all the different departments
mm-hmm.
that affect that. And we also provide some other itinerant services that go on.
So then all those things could be available on a sometimes basis.
Sometimes basis.
Okay.
I think right now, the difference between sometimes stand down and referral is the fact that it's there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go somewhere.
Well, but you have to go to the stand down.
You have to go to the stand down.
I think one of the problems with the stand down has been diminishing returns. Fewer and fewer people, either they don't need it or it's too much of a headache to get to it. You know, I mean, it's at Rylea. It's a really remote place. I mean, if you live in Portland.
Well, I think, it's intended for the North Coast.
Oh, okay.
But the other side, the answer to that, because out here it's worse. This is really the bush.
Man, with the traffic we've had, you wouldn't think it was a bush, but oh, yeah.
When they shut down 26 and we got a free tour of Vernonia yesterday, it was kind of interesting. But that's, going back to what we're saying, the average bear is out here, and the worst problem the VA has is getting the word out and also to getting to problem solving. One of the critical aspects in the VA is people who don't, particularly with the VA Health Administration, is what's happening and how can I fix it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a staff of people called patient advocates in that system, which are there to answer problematic issues.
That's great that they have patient advocates now.
But they don't. The question of how many people are aware of them is
great. Right. Well, and also how many people get hooked up with them when they call the VA center or come in?
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Oh, well, that doesn't work at all. Oh, you have to sort of have some kind of a fill out the form. If there was someone to help you breeze through this process, would you want them? Yes. I mean, that's stupid.
Well, it's even worse than that. I mean, they put you on an automated telephone system.
Oh, God.
You're about the sixth number out by the time you get to a live person.
And then by then you're so pissed off,
well,
you just hang up.
And you
swear at the person and say, I'll talk to you later.
Keeping in mind that you're already 7 out of 10 ticked off when you're calling them. It's a major problem. But I think, and we're talking about only 4 people to cover the whole population that the main hospital serves, and one over at the Hillsborough Center, and probably one over in Vancouver, and one in Salem, and one in Eugene. They're very limited. One of the things I think, if I were to talk to have contact with the VA people, I would recommend they at least double or triple that staff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's give the phone numbers again of... Okay.
First one, I'm going to give you the Veterans Crisis Number.
Okay.
Which sounds hokey, and again, is one of these automated telephone trees, but if you get to a live person, it can work.
Okay.
And the critical number is 800-273-8255. The number for the VA Vet Center in Portland is 503-688-5363. The number for... my business number is 503-791-5482, and I'd be glad to answer your questions and refer you to where, if I can't give you a straight answer, I'll get you to someone who can.
That's great.
And then I think there are other major veterans organizations, like the Disabled Veterans of America or the Paralyzed Veterans of America, who operate and maintain national services offices out of the VA regional office in Portland to answer claims questions. That's as an adjunct to the county veteran service officers like Luke Thomas in Clatsop County or Bill Hatton and Diane Niflis in Tillamook County.
Great. Well, thank you. My guest has been Ken Rislow. I'm not doing it. And thank you for coming again. I hope that veterans get the help they need their families.
I think the critical situation is to cop to the fact that you need the service, and also reach out, because if you don't reach out, no one's going to come and get you.
Well, nobody knows. Nobody knows you're there.
Simply because you don't know you're there.
Right.